Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is here.
God save the Queen, man.
Okay, you're still stuck on that.
Holy yeah, I'm still smokes. Stuck on that.
All the gaffes and mistakes and errors and lies from President Trump, and you only remember
God save the Queen,
one
man.
Thing. Okay, well, that's fine. All right. Welcome on board, everybody. It's WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. We have two guests on the line to start out with today. We are going to talk to Mr. David Roser. He's the CEO of Encina. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Well, see you again.
All right. So I think we got you both on here now. Yes, David, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I hear
yes,
you just
loud
fine.
And clear.
All right. And Michael Marr is on the line, Director of Government Relations and Compliance with Encina. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in.
And we don't have.
Do we have that? All right. Well, let me put that there and that there. There we go, Michael. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, perfect. Thank you about that. I just was trying to tell Joe how to use the phones.
Yes, and you did a wonderful job. Now, if you just knew, we'd be in great shape.
Totally undercutting the entire interview and making it not work. All right. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you both so much for calling in. Encina, more than $1 billion plant, circular manufacturing, meaning circular as to take plastics from the plastic that you and I would use all the way back around to its raw materials so it could be used again for something else. I think I encapsulated that okay. Somewhat controversial, but certainly there are, and I support Encina signs around here as well. So, David, reiterate to our audience what circular manufacturing in the Point Township plant is all about.
Sure. So our circular manufacturing basically takes end-of-line plastics that normally go to a landfill at end of life and brings them into our plant to be made into new chemicals to make new plastics. And so it's completely circular, so we can do this over and over again with the materials. And it's a way to help in several different ways. So one is, first of all, obviously the jobs and the economic impact to the surrounding community is pretty substantial. There was one study is about over $2 billion in the first 5 years. The second is it helps us with our waste crisis, right? Our plastic waste crisis. We're only recycling about 10% of the plastic waste out there right now, so this helps in terms of bringing in more plastic that goes to the landfill rather than having it go to the landfill. It also helps us, continue to be able to do sustainable materials for important areas like medical and automotive and aerospace and things like that need these types of plastics. And then finally, obviously, it helps to wean us a little bit from fossil fuel-based materials because you don't have to get new fossil-based chemicals out of the ground. We can just use these same carbon molecules over again. So pretty important, we think.
Michael, status of getting the plants permits, zoning permissions in Point Township, one thing, but lots of permits from DEP and others.
Yeah, that certainly, there's dozens of permits we have to get, right? And so we're going through all of that right now. In general, the permitting process is very rigorous in Pennsylvania, and so we're complying with all of permitting and going through all that process right now.
All right, Michael.
Yeah, I'll just reiterate what Dave said and note that process is underway. It is a process; it does take time, but it is moving along, and we're satisfied with the pace.
Where do you have permits pending now?
There's a whole host of agencies that we've engaged with. Most notably, I would say the DEP, the River Water Commission. Those are probably the two biggest areas of interest.
I'm curious about a couple of things. First of all, you've certainly spent a lot of time in the community trying to convince people that what you're doing is safe and reasonable, and yet a lot of people remain unconvinced. What do you find is the major thing that's holding people back from really embracing this project?
So I think there's a vocal minority coming forward. No matter what we say or what answer we give, it's not going to be good enough. Right, and so again, you know, they say that we're not answering questions, and I'm saying that last Tuesday night we stayed until there were no more questions to be answered. We asked, "Are there any more questions?" And there were no more questions, and we'll continue to do that. Right, I think that there were over 100 people there last Tuesday night. You know, we spent over 2 hours answering questions, a lot of really good questions. There's a lot of supporters there, a lot of people that do have good questions. But there is a vocal minority that it doesn't matter how we answer the questions, Mark. They're not going to be happy with the answers. And so we're just going to keep on answering the questions the way we know and with the truth and being transparent and keep going. That's all we can do, quite frankly.
That question came from me. I'm Joe, but that's okay. We're interchangeable.
Sorry about that.
All right, but as I recall in the meeting, that what you've talked about is that there is nobody else doing this right now, and that a large part of the process is proprietary. I understand one of the people who attended the meeting volunteered to go to your test site on at their own expense and look at it, but you said no because it's proprietary. Have your attorneys ever heard of a non-disclosure agreement?
So what you just said is completely and utterly wrong.
Okay.
So first of all, we did say that I would take them there, but they would have to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Okay.
That's exactly what I said to them. So yes, I've heard of non-disclosure agreements before, and we do them all the time. So that's the first thing. Second thing is they just can't go there by themselves. It's not like a standalone facility. It's a research facility. It's very, very large, hundreds of acres. With a lot of different research going on with companies and also with the U.S. government as well. And so you just can't walk on the site. So that's why I said, look, if you get a group of people that want to go down there, I'll work with the group that we deal with down there, get non-disclosure agreements, get your passes, and we'll go see it. Absolutely.
Okay, what would they see if such a trip took place? What would the process, you know, what would you be doing down there that would give them a clue as to how it might be safe and reasonable to do it here?
So again, what they would see is exactly what's on our website. Is there's a picture of it on our website and on the Point Township and Encino website as well. The only part of this whole technology that has not been done before is taking plastic and putting it into a fluidized cracking unit and cracking it into chemicals. Everything else we're talking about has been done for decades. So the front-end sorting has been done for decades. FCC has been done for 80 years by large chemical companies to crack things like Nat gas. That's what the Beaver County Shell project does. They crack nat gas, or they've cracked heavy oil in the past. Large companies. We're using the same technology. The only difference is in the plastic, and then the downstream separation equipment has been used for decades as well. All that is separating out different chemicals from each other. Very well known. The only part that we're testing down in Texas, and what we tested over thousands of hours down there, is can we get the yields right that we say we're going to get? Does the catalyst work correctly? You know, what is the catalyst attrition that happens in that system? How do we deal with char and that kind of stuff? So that's what they would see, is that specific piece of the technology that is our technology, right, that will crack it. But what they'll see specifically is what's on our website. It's a fairly large, four-story high, operation. So that's what they would see.
Okay. All right. Who are your allies? Who's on your side? I know Drive is in charge of the land there. I believe they're the owner of the land, so we'll assume they're part of your allies. Where are you in relation to having allies among the various chambers of commerce around here, governments? I know you don't have the mayor of Northumberland, but maybe you got some other municipal-type folks.
Michael, you want to take that?
I can take that. So we have a number of supporters. I would note the largest contingent were at the event the other night were from the labor union and those are the building trades who will help build the facility. There was by far the largest contingent in the audience, I believe, was from the building trades. And they actually helped answer a few questions based on their experience getting large projects, including the Shamokin power plant, Shamokin Dam power plant built not too long ago. So they were really there and very helpful and very supportive. In terms of Chambers of Commerce, we're members of three. We've had good interest and support from the various board members of those chambers. And in terms of local government, we've got a number of supporters throughout the region government representatives. Most notably, one who spoke out at the event last week was Joe Kant, who's the county commissioner from a neighboring county and also a representative of North Shore Railroad. There are others, but Joe is the first to come to mind right now.
David, any thoughts on that, this idea of your allies?
Well, see, I think a lot of the allies we have are just regular, everyday people in the area who want to understand, you know, more about the project, but support it because of the, you know, first of all, you know, because of the economic impact, but also because, quite frankly, you know, the world is going to a circular economy, and it's going to go there. And so a lot of what we heard is from people is, look, we want to support this. We don't want to be left behind again, right? We want to be at the forefront of this. And with the Encina plant, we expect to, you know, this is going to be our flagship plant. And so there's going to be more of these around the globe. We're already looking at seven or eight more around the globe. This is our flagship plant where, you know, people working there will have opportunities to go other places to transfer this technology to other places. And it's going to be a hub for circular chemistry. So I think a lot of the people that are positive, you know, come to me personally and say, you know, especially after the meeting last Tuesday, is say, hey, we're a supporter of you. You know, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for taking 2 hours to answer questions. And I keep on saying, look, I'm going to continue to come back and answer questions because I think there are legitimate questions. And as you know, people have questions seven times, seven ways, right, to answer those questions so people really get an understanding of what you're doing. So I really think that, you know, there's a vocal minority, which actually was a little less vocal at the meeting on Tuesday night because we were answering their questions. And then the majority of people that are for us are much more individuals who are you know, local population.
Well, I'll give you high marks for showing up. You certainly have been willing to talk to people. But some of the concerns that people have are you probably can't address. For example, how many hundreds of trucks are coming in a day with this plastic waste? You know, do we really want all that truck traffic coming into the area? Do we really want the potential smell? I've heard people complain that this process might have a certain malodorous connection to it. And over and above that, there's the concern about the way you're taking water out of the Susquehanna and putting it back in. A number of communities, including mine, Shamokin Dam, and to full disclosure, I'm the mayor of Shamokin Dam, we take our water out of the Susquehanna River. So there's concerns about that, too. I mean, how do you address all these things?
Yeah, let me address those one at a time. So first of all, on the traffic side, and I know Michael can chime in here, there'll be approximately 100 trucks a day, the exact amount we think is going to be 114 trucks per day, okay? We're working very closely with PennDOT to figure out what we have to do to make sure that it's not a nuisance to the local area, absolutely. So PennDOT is working with us very closely. And you also have to remember, going down that Route 11, there's 11,000 vehicles a day. So the 114 trucks is approximately 1% of the current traffic volume, right? Now, they are trucks, but again, we're going to work very closely with PennDOT to make sure that we get the best routes, how to limit all the impacts going forward. So we're working on that, you know, directly. The odors, in terms of odors, look, all of the materials are going to come in closed trucks. They're going to be opened up and unloaded in an enclosed building. And so, you know, from the front end, the waste, you know, the recycled plastic, first of all, it's gone through a sorting, you know, already twice, right? So it's been sorted at the curb and then sorted at the MRF. All of that gets unloaded inside a building. So we don't expect any odors outside the building from the front end. And then there really are no odors from the chemical part of it. There won't be any odors at all from the chemical part of it, right? So, I mean, again, there are also rules about odor and noise and things like that we have to comply with, right? So we're working through that as well. So we don't expect to have any odor issues with the plant. And then finally, when the drinking water, so first of all, when we bring drinking water out of the Susquehanna, we have to treat it first. And Veolia, I think is the name of the companies we're working with, who's done a lot of these systems along the Susquehanna, right?
is our partner in this, and they've done this an awful lot. We've got to bring water out of the Susquehanna and treat it before it actually goes into our process, okay? And then we've got to treat it to specific specifications, right? Using, and we're going to use best-in-class water treatment technology with Veolia to put it back into the Susquehanna. Now, if you talk about drinking water, all of your, you know, right now, not even having Encina there, all of the drinking water coming out of Susquehanna has to be treated, right? And Pennsylvania has established rigorous drinking water standards, right? That the drinking water operators have to you know deal with, right? And so things like you know any issues, you really can't drink the Susquehanna River water right now, right? You have to have it treated before you guys can drink it, and I think you guys do that, right? And so we're gonna meet all the regulations, make sure we put the material. We're gonna test all kinds of things like temperature and pH and all that kind of stuff to make sure it's not gonna harm the water or the ecosystem then when it goes back in. But you have to do what people do have to understand it. Right now you cannot drink Susquehanna River water. It does not meet Pennsylvania standards. And so every town along there that is taking water out is treating it, right? So. Hopefully yes, that answers right. the three major questions you had there.
Well, they are, but, you know, your assurances are one thing, but, you know, I think there's a lot of people who, since this is a new process, are going to remain skeptical, and perhaps not without good reason. You know, how going forward, how do you plan to continue to address community concerns?
So the only thing we can do is go forward with the process, right, in terms of doing all the permitting, working with the water treatment company, they were there on Tuesday night. They showed, you know, the system or part of the system that they're going to put in, and they were there to answer questions too. So, really, quite frankly, all we can do, and yes, I think there are good questions, and a healthy skepticism is good, right? And we'll continue to answer questions, and we get more and more information. We'll continue to bring it to the community, and we're open to what the community has in terms of, you know, pushing back, right? So right at the beginning of us being there, community pushed back on stormwater management, right, and flooding. And so we took that to heart. And so not only did we look at our own issues, but we also looked at the issues around that area. And we're actually going to put in place a system that helps what's going on now, plus what we're going to be dealing with, right? So we're open to the community giving us suggestions about, hey, we have this problem, you know, what are you going to do about that, right? But all we can, quite frankly, do is continue to answer questions, continue to provide information and data, and go through the process the way it should be done with the local agencies, the state agencies, and the federal agencies to make sure that we cross all the T's and dot all the I's on the program.
Well, we thank you for your time, but one last question. If everything goes your way, how soon will you be breaking ground?
We will probably be breaking ground early next year.
All right, very well. Thank you both so much for their help and your information.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
We're welcome to check back with further updates in the future, and we certainly will talk again. Thank you, men.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yeah, much appreciated. Dr. David Roser is the CEO of Encina, and Michael Moore is Director of Government Relations and Compliance. And with more information, if you want to hear the group Save Our Susquehanna, they were on Sunrise recently, and their information and unanswered questions are there as well, although I think this Q&A may have answered a few of those questions. So to be continued. We're going to take a quick break. You are listening to On the Mark, WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Call us now, 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. That's 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Sunbury Motor Company is our sponsor. We've been talking about some of the vehicles that they got for sale. Let me talk about the Hyundai Elantra, and they do have one of those on the lot. I just saw it. It's that, you know, putty-ish, brownish color. I see it as green, but everybody says it's just beige. Anyway, redesigned Elantra, much roomier, faster, and it's got a four-cylinder, but it's got a turbocharge and a new transmission. It's probably got about 14 speeds to it or so on. Joe, can you mute your phone, please?
Yes, I can.
Handling is nimble, say the folks who have been in. I haven't used the word nimble in conversation in a while, but now's your opportunity. But yeah, super vehicle, up to 48 miles to the gallon. And guess what? Some of them, when they roll off the assembly line, less than $20,000 sticker. So this is a compact economy car, but very highly rated and built superlatively well. The Hyundai Elantra. We would just love to see you in an Elantra from the Sunbury Motor Company.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Let's open them up. 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. Got about 5 minutes left before the top of the hour. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM.
One of our emailers, and we didn't get a chance to ask this, says previously an Encina rep said their filtration process will filter out particles as small as bacteria. Aren't microplastics much smaller than bacteria? Will their filtration process filter out all microplastics coming from their process?
I don't know. Shahada Sahandi said that the water will be cleaner when it comes out than it was when it came in, and they got these strange-looking filter stringy devices that are going to be doing the filtering. We will put this question to them. How about that? That's the way to go.
Well, I can tell you that the state doesn't mess around with water quality. I know, for example, because we have a permit to take water out of the Susquehanna and, for drinking purposes, and they monitor our water process very, very carefully. Matter of fact, sometimes they're almost anal in what they require.
How about far obsessive? Beyond, can we just go obsessive?
I prefer anal.
Okay. Moving on.
But, seriously, they have all these rules that you have to follow. Now, the question would become whether or not the people in the area believe that those rules are sufficient to protect them from what it is that this company will be doing.
Yeah, this whole conversation is similar to when USPCI wanted to put a toxic waste burner in up at, in Gray Township?
Where Great Stream Commons is now.
Right. So... but you see, in that case, everybody was against the plant except a couple of Bucknell profs and Lycoming County government never mobilized against them in the neighboring county. But Union County was, and the Chambers of Commerce were, and citizens were, and the vast majority of individuals were opposed to USPCI putting a hazardous waste material burner there. And, of course, they eventually gave up as people fought it and made sure that the company. But in this particular case, Encina has supporters around here. Now, they do not have yet the endorsements of the Chambers of Commerce around here, but they may procure them later after this permitting process is done, and maybe the permits are exampled or whatever. And they did hire a local representative. The Joe Morales is a local representative, mm-hmm. Designed to be boots on the ground here, answering questions and so on. And so it's hardly a USPCI situation.
Well, back then, I forget the guy's last name.
Drew Lewis.
Drew Lewis, he was the persona non grata around this area for quite a while, and his name wasn't really said. It was kind of spat out. Drew Lewis.
Go ahead.
These guys seem to be much more forthcoming and out there, at least in willingness to discuss the issue. And I think it's great that they offered to take a group of people down there to see what's going on.
Texas, right?
Texas, yeah. And I think that's a reasonable thing. If there's a group of people, if, for example, this What Save Our Susquehanna group, they're probably the largest skeptics. Take a couple of them down. Show them the process. If they're fair-minded people and the thing looks safe, I'm sure they'll come back and say so.
It's supposed to be hot in Texas right now, so that's another topic.
It's always hot in Texas.
I remember when Drew Lewis came here initially when they said they wanted to put the toxic burner up in Union County. I asked him, I said, listen, there's a lot of opposition to this already. If everybody's against it, the government and private individuals and other businesses are all against this, will you still build the plant? And he said, yes, we'll still build it. Well, our area had the last laugh. He eventually gave up.
I think Encino would probably say the same thing. They'll still build it. You know, I was going to ask him about the conjecture that they were going to dig a 50-foot building or 20 feet underground and then still have a 70-foot structure, but 20 feet of it underground. That was one of the things that was talked about.
Oh.
But if they can conform to all of the existing rules and regulations, there's really no basis to stop them. And I'm sure the state will be looking over their shoulder with respect to the environmental impacts. I mean, let's face it, our governor is an environmental, I won't say an environmental nut, but he's serious about the environment.
Well, he's serious about, compliance with the existing regulations. I haven't heard him talk about deregulation, but in Harrisburg and in Washington, permit expediting was part of the debt reduction or the debt cap bill that went through. So maybe the same things happen in Harrisburg. Expedite some of these permits wherever possible.
Well, we'll find out.
To be continued, folks. We're going to open up the phones, and we'd love to hear from you during the 9 a.m. hour on Encina or other topics. Sunbury Motor Company is our sponsor. 570-743-9565, the number. This is WKOK Sunbury, 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe is here.
I am.
Controversial leader of the borough of Shamokin Dam.
Not controversial.
Embattled leader?
Not embattled, not controversial.
Oppressed?
Just oppressed, perhaps.
Sometimes.
Some days depressed.
Your grandkids hold you down sometimes.
All right. Well, they only to tickle me.
Okay. Oh, dear. Ouch. Okay. So, On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at Sunbury Motors.com. Our phone number is now open. Call us 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WDKOK. You can email us at onthemark@WDKOK.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. Joe McGranahan is here, mayor of Shamokin Dam, and a good conservative, natural-born listener, though, so he'll listen to what you have to say before he dismisses it outright. And I'm Mark Lawrence. I portray liberal on the radio, but not really very well. And I mock a lot of people, so maybe you wouldn't want to call if I mock you. I make fun of your name and
you things mock me all the time.
I know, I really do. I feel terrible about it.
Oh, no, you don't.
No, I don't. Not really. All right. Nah. But Joe is here, and he figured out how to mute his phone. Now, are you going to know how to unmute it after
no,
the show?
No, it's a lot of work, just because you don't like to hear beep, boop.
What? I don't know. It's like a radio thing.
Hey.
You don't let your phone ring.
We have noises on all the time.
Okay.
Sometimes the people in the next control room get awfully boisterous, and it filters through.
All right. So how did you do it? I'm just curious.
There were two buttons. One said email, and the other one said text, and I just muted them both.
Okay.
So hopefully that will please you, knowing that you are having a difficult time today adjusting to things that irritate you.
Okay.
Including me.
I said, well, yeah, that's every day, but I sent you a text. Did you receive it yet?
I don't know. It didn't go beep boop, so maybe I did. No, I didn't receive it yet.
Okay, well, you'll get one shortly from
me. If it goes beep, then I have failed.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now, you're going to do the news headlines, and then we can go on with the program.
We do have some news headlines here. Yeah, email us at onthemark@wdkok.com. Text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. And you can call us 570-743-9565. You can talk about the Encina group that was on with their CEO, and one of their local government relations fellows was here. In the months and weeks ahead, we can certainly invite Joe Morales. Their boots on the ground locally is a businessman in this region who is now their, I guess I'll call it community relations. I forget the exact title. So he's filling that role. So he's another individual around here that you can ask questions of Encina. And if you were in the Save Our Susquehanna group or not yet in the group, you have a question or an observation about their appearance, you're welcome to call. We'd love to hear from you. We did get one question, so we'll forward that to the Encina folks and see what the answer is. Now the news, one of the candidates for Northumberland County District Attorney is calling for more transparency and lots of scrutiny of the current DA. Michael O'Donnell, who was nominated for DA on the Republican ballot in this fall's election, says the current DA should be investigated as a result of the FBI's Mount Carmel police arrest. He says, quote, the district attorney is responsible for oversight of law enforcement and to ensure that all individuals are receiving fair and just prosecution, unquote. He says all of the incidents in the indictment occurred during the current district attorney and Mount Carmel resident Tony Matalevich's administration. So he, too, should be investigated. O'Donnell is telling us that he thinks the DA should be held to a higher standard. No comment yet from the current DA on the FBI arrests, and we'll ask him to respond to this latest. You can read the full statement from O'Donnell on the WKOK podcast page. Union County Veterans 4th of July Parade is this Saturday. One of the parade's co-grand marshal is Judy Silverstein Gray, who wrote a book, Unwavering, The Wives Who Fought to Ensure No Man Is Left Behind. She says, as a result of the work of a group of wives back in the 1960s who pushed the U.S. government and the U.S. Army and other military branches to fight harder to find out and to get back their POWs and MIAs.
We had to deal with 50-year-old memories. We had to dig through archives. My co-author had written two previous books on POWs and knew the families pretty well and had large Tupperware bins of research, and we had to dig and dig.
They have at least four public appearances coming up, and then they will be on WDKOK's On the Mark program on June 30th. So John Shipman will be my co-host that day. He's a U.S. Army veteran as well, and so he will be here, and we'll talk to Judy Silverstein Gray, the co-grand marshal of this Saturday's parade. She's also the daughter-in-law of Nada Gray, so she's already coming into our area famous. Spotlight PA is reporting that two Pennsylvania lawmakers have requested investigations into the State Gaming Control Board following a Spotlight PA report that detailed how top officials met privately with casino lobbyists about a major competitor and failed to disclose the meeting on public laws required by law. State Senator Gene Yaw and State Representative Jared Solomon of Philadelphia have asked the State Attorney General's Office and the State's Ethics Commission to review the Gaming Board's actions for compliance with the law and review internal rules established to ensure the agency remain impervious to outside influence. Well, this was a dirty trick by a company. A restaurant chain in California hired a fake priest to take confessions from workers, with the supposed father urging them to get the sins out by telling him if they'd been late for work or had stolen from their employer. Che Garibaldi's owner brought in the fake priest after the U.S. Labor Department started investigating workplace issues. The alleged priest also asked workers if they harbored any bad intentions towards their employer or if they'd done anything to harm the company, according to the agency, which called it one of the most shameless scams in labor regulation history.
How many laws do these guys violate?
I don't know.
And who's their president? Bozo the Clown?
So, yeah, boy, Che Garibaldi.
This is California.
Right. It's funny because it's rare for a company to bring in any sort of an individual for religious purposes. Now, retreats and things, but they're usually pretty ecumenical. And so, but in this particular case...
Well, if I had to guess, I would guess a large percentage of employees were Hispanic or of Hispanic origin and may not
Catholic.
Actually be documented workers.
Oh, well, we don't know about that. But, yeah, we don't know. But anyway, so they were already under investigation for labor issues. And so So this isn't going to help their case. Okay.
Well, how did this get disclosed, out of curiosity? Does the story say?
No, it does not. This is from CBS Connect. They just give you a couple sentences so that announcers can make fun of it, but it doesn't say more. But I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you, and you Google some of those key words, and you could find more. But first, you have to pay attention to this. So this was at the bottom of the email I sent you overnight. One of the premises of why Donald Trump shouldn't be the nominee for president is that he can't beat Joe Biden. Well, I guess we should say Dan was right. President Trump can beat President Biden, at least in polling. The Center Square is reporting that former President Donald Trump has a slight lead over President Joe Biden in national polling, even after being charged with 37 criminal counts and an indictment related to his handling of classified documents. Real Clear Politics polling average has Trump ahead of Biden by 2.4 points in a general election matchup, showing that the federal indictment against President Trump has so far not sunk his chances to return to the White House. In fact, it may have bolstered them. Previous polls show the president slightly behind Joe Biden, or show Trump behind Biden in previous polls, but both results, the previous and the current, are within the margin of error, but this is the first time the trend had Trump ahead. Meantime, a Harris poll released over the weekend showed Trump winning in a head-to-head matchup against Biden by 6 points. Count them. This is the first poll to show not only Trump with a lead, but also outside the margin of error by 6 points. The same poll found Trump would beat Kamala Harris easily. Quinnipiac released a poll last week showing President Biden leading Trump by 4 points, but obviously that has not been borne out by these other two polls, the Harris poll and the Real Clear Politics. So, I mean, honestly, that's one of the premises of me as we're conversing about this, is that, you know, you got to find somebody other than President Trump, if only so that you can beat Joe Biden. But looks like in head-to-head polling, of course, we're months and months away from the first primary, but the trend is in Trump's favor.
And I found more about this story, which is rather amusing.
Fake priest.
Right. Hiring an allegedly fake priest to solicit confessions wasn't the restaurant chain's only wrongdoing. According to government officials, a court last month ordered the restaurant, Che Garibaldi's, to pay $140,000 in back wages and damages to 35 employees.
Okay, so they've already been in hot
Maybe
water,
the employee should have hired the fake priest to hear the confessions of the owners of the company.
Maybe they did. Maybe one of the company top docs went in there and accidentally said, oh, yeah, we're screwing the workers out of thousands of dollars every day.
Now we need to find out if they have any bad intentions toward the company. And it's, I like it. While we don't know who the person in question was, we are completely confident he was not a priest of the Diocese of Sacramento.
Oh, Mr. Pete.
What would go through your head to even try something
That's
like
true.
That?
Where, who even thinks of this?
Yeah, right. And, oh, you know, gosh. I mean, they obviously must have a workforce of largely Hispanic people, or at least some reason to believe that most of them are Catholics otherwise.
Unbelievable. Okay, so yeah, Che Garibaldi in hot water. President Trump leading in some recent polls over Joe Biden, so that's 100% new. One, I think some of that may have been helped by President Biden's stumble at the, what was it, the Air Force
Academy?
God
save the Queen, man?
Well, that doesn't help anything either, even though, you
know. Oh, his stumble, his actual stumble.
President Trump or President Biden will be able to talk about his accomplishments and things like that, but not everybody thinks they're ideal. And still, to not address the border, well, that's never going to hurt the president, or you know, never going to help President Biden.
I heard an interview that President Trump gave to somebody in Fox News last night, and I didn't hear the whole thing. They excerpted it. But when he was talking rationally about things, you know, that he would do, his administration would do, what he would like to do at the border, how he would like to change things, he makes a lot of sense. You know, if we could just keep that part of Donald Trump, and, you know, they used to perform lobotomies on people to change their behavior. If we could give him a lobotomy,
okay,
that would take away the nasty meanness and the the pettiness and the thin-skinned attitude and make
him a
statement.
Well, he's a narcissist. Yeah, if he could just take a pill, a chill pill for the narcissism, and then he'd be a regular GOP person. And well, I mean, he's got the right ideas
for the country. He's got what we need. He's got what we need in his head. But what do we pay? The price we pay for it might be too high for a lot of people.
So, well, this is the first I've seen him with any lead in the poll. So that really, I mean, that changes everything. I think it's a game changer in everything. It's going to change the views of some of these other presidential candidates. I know Nikki Haley in particular had been making pretty good points, saying that, you know, even if you don't pick me, don't pick Trump, because he's not going to be able to beat Joe Biden. But maybe the vessel is emptying, the Joe Biden vessel.
What's interesting is the way, again, the way the major media attacks, and I think attacks Trump and giving Biden a pass. While major media outlets have decided to ignore President Biden ripping a reporter for asking him dumb questions throughout his term, there was often fierce attention paid to former President Trump's spats with the Fourth Estate. After Biden blasted New York Post reporter Stephen Nelson last week for asking a dumb question about allegations that as Vice President Biden received $5 million from a Ukrainian executive working on the same energy firm as his son, Hunter, both CNN and MSNBC ignored the exchange. According to searches of their transcripts, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and other legacy outlets have also skipped the story. Fox News did cover it. You know, so there's a case where they said, oh, Trump's saying horrible things to reporters. It's awful. And then here's Biden saying, you're asking me dumb questions. Well, he didn't ask him a dumb question. He asked him a legitimate question. There are allegations that he took $5 million bribe.
Did you? What was the answer?
Well, the answer was, where's the money? If you recall, President Biden said, where's the money?
Okay, where'd it go?
Well, I really think he's got a pretty nice beach house in Wilmington, Delaware. And
well, no, the beach house is in Rehoboth. His house is in Wilmington. And I believe they have a place in Outer Banks or something?
Probably do. I think. And on a senator's salary, isn't that amazing? He was able to amass all that.
I certainly don't think it's bad that you have three houses and one of them is in Outer Banks and it's a pretty nice place. But did you have to call it Burisma West? I thought that is not a good name for that place.
Well, you know, we have to have, it's just like the argument about the Encina thing. We have to be able to trust our institutions. We have to be able to trust the people who are governing us. And we have to be able to trust our systems. If they fail us, then what do we have as a country?
All right, and how does this relate to President Biden?
Well, I think President Biden is failing us.
Okay.
You know, right now, you look at the Secretary Blinken over with President Xi in China. We're all saying we've got to normalize our relations with them. Mm-hmm. Well, how do we do that? When they're stealing things from us, when they're sending spy balloons over the country, when they're dogging our aircraft and cutting in front of our destroyers in open seas, how do we normalize our relationship with them?
Well, first of all, we're perpetrating all of the things you just said they do. Anything they do spying over us, we do to them. I mean, we're hacking them.
Are you sure we are?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the
fact, then we must be very good because we're not getting caught.
Well, I think China catches us and doesn't tell the world, but they probably tell the front office. You know, they probably tell Joe Biden.
Who are these hackers? Where are they located? And what are they doing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
They're in Sunbury. They're based in Sunbury on Second Street. I'll show you the building.
So all right.
It's near the courthouse annex. So, all right. But, yeah, we're trying to spy on them also, you know, in every way possible. But that's not really here nor there. The key is, can we normalize relations? Can we get, somehow these trade issues dealt with? Can we get the human rights issues dealt with? You know, is Blinken the right person for that? That could well be. I mean, it's possible that it could help matters. They already came up with one agreement on one small topic, the nature of which escapes me at the moment, but they did come up with something that's, you know, one of the tiny points of contention that they wanted to resolve. But, of course, China's still doing balloons and hacking and stealing and doing everything they like to do and flooding us with stuff.
Okay.
And they, borrowing well, they all
are
our money.
They are flooding us with stuff.
And
they
buying
not
our
actually,
debt.
They're buying our country. They're buying things that probably we shouldn't even be selling them. You know, why do they want to own farmland near a military base in the United States? I'm sure they're not planning on growing crops here. They've got plenty of land in China to grow crops
on. Well, that's easy. That's that way when they invade, they'll have a foothold in one spot already.
And then yesterday, Secretary Blinken reaffirmed our one China policy. That, you know, that nothing should change the, what do you call it, the status quo, if you will, between Taiwan and China.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people are coming down immediately and saying, including Republicans, I guess it was a Republican, I forget which senator said, you know, shouldn't we be standing up for human rights? Well, should we be standing up for human rights? What's more important to us? Are human rights more important to us?
Republicans stood up for human rights? Are you sure?
Yes.
Fox reported it? Come on now. All right. We'd invite folks to weigh in on this. We're talking about Secretary Blinken in China, the new Trump poll showing him leading over Joe Biden if there were a mythical race today. And, what's your thought on that? Or maybe the Encina Group. So give us a buzz. 570-743-9565. Actually, all four lines are open right now, so there'll be no waiting for somebody who got right through. 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And you can text us at 70236. Joe's going to check the texts, and he'll read those messages on the radio. All right, we got 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. Joe did get my text, and it didn't make any noise. He's never going to be able to get the text turned back on. Sorry, buddy. All right, so 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. Washington Post is sending out a bulletin this morning saying President Biden's son, Hunter, has reached a tentative agreement with federal prosecutors to plead guilty to two minor tax crimes and admit the facts of a gun charge under terms that would likely keep him out of jail, according to court papers filed Tuesday. So the gun charges.
Let's lock up Trump, but let's Hunter skate. Let's downplay the charges.
Well, anyway, who said lock up Trump?
Everybody.
No.
People yelling, lock him up.
Not me. Anyway, any proposed plea deal would have to be approved by a federal judge, and it was not immediately clear if Hunter Biden, who's 53, might appear in court to enter a guilty plea. The agreement caps an investigation that was opened in 2018 during the Trump administration and has generated intense interest and criticism since 2020 from Republican politicians who accused the Biden administration of reluctance to pursue the case. The terms of the proposed deal negotiated with Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss, a holdover from President Donald Trump's administration, are likely to face scrutiny.
Yes, I would think they should.
Biden plans to admit to illegally possessing a weapon following his 2018 purchase of a handgun as part of the admission. He expects to be entered in a diversion program, a less punitive form of sentencing typically applied to people with substance abuse problems. In all, prosecutors will recommend 2 years of probation and diversion conditions. I think this is all relates to the fact that he had a gun or bought a gun, even though he was addicted to drugs, which is one of the criteria on the federal form to not get a gun. And the reason we know he's addicted to drugs is he wrote in his autobiography that he was addicted to crack cocaine.
Well, now let's see. Let's find out about 20 other people who've been charged similarly and see what the outcome of their judicial process was.
Okay.
I bet you it was far more severe than a little slap on the wrist.
Well, but see, even though it's a slap on the wrist, I'll let's just say that. I certainly won't stipulate it. This is the beginning of the chipping away of the Biden invincibility. The vessel now has a pinhole in it, you know, so if you can get Hunter and you can get President Biden.
It's also got a pinhead at the top of it.
Right. If you can get him to fall over a couple more times, then you can get a Democrat in there that might be able to lead the nation a little more effectively, in my opinion. Although, as Chris pointed out yesterday, the president has been tremendously successful by his standards. You know, everything he wanted to do, he did do. So,
by his standards.
Right. I mean, he got some measure of gun control laws imposed and all the stimulus and transportation packages and things like that. He got all them through. So he's a natural-born legislator. All right, Dan, thank you so much for calling in. We're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, Trump's one problem he suffered that no president suffered near as much was a fourth state. The news media completely had negative talk on him, negative everything against Trump. And he had to fight them 24/7. And he actually answered all their questions fairly, but all they wanted to do was debate with Trump. They would ask a question in order to cause a debate. They really weren't after an answer. They only wanted to debate Trump. He gave them answers. He answered all their questions, but they kept on against him. And right now, you have people still believe that the media was unbiased against Trump.
What?
They think it treated him fair.
Unbiased, yeah. Against Trump?
There's,
you mean
people
biased,
blame,
right?
It on, they blame it on Trump, not the media. And he called it out right. He said the media is basically enemy of the people, told it like it was. Not all of them, but 90 to 92% of them were the enemy of us, the people like me that wanted a better country to live in. And
biased media is only an enemy of half the country. I mean, they must favor somebody.
The thing is, what I think, they didn't care. I feel the election was cheated in favor of Biden. They don't really care. All they cared is if Biden won. They didn't care how he got there, what had to be done. The main thing, they weren't going to have 2016 all over again. They were shocked. They were crying that Trump won. And they were all bonkers that Trump won the presidency.
Yeah, everybody
they
was very surprised.
So everybody was bonkers.
2020, they made sure it wasn't going to happen. They didn't think it would happen in 2016. They made sure in 2020 it didn't happen. 2024, why would we expect anything different? They're going to really work the system to make sure Trump loses. You know, the 2,000 mules didn't stop at 2,000. They're going to do everything, whatever. So whoever the Democratic person is, he wins. So Trump might be ahead in the polls, I realize that, but there's going to be a lot of hanky-panky.
There's only one poll that really counts, and that'll be Election Day next year.
I don't know. I don't think it'll be hanky-panky. There might be panky, there might be hanky, but there won't be hanky-panky.
You don't think they'll get together?
No, I don't think they're not going to get together.
All right, anyway, Dan, we're not mocking you, just so you know.
No, I think what Dan says, there is a certain amount of truth to it. No one can deny the fact that President Trump was seriously abused by the media at the start of his term.
Oh, brother.
But the way he responded to it is on him. You know, other people have been criticized in the press. Harry Truman was vilified. And, you know, he called a spade, and he called out some reporters. Yet we think of him fondly today as one of our better presidents. And I think Donald Trump was probably right. I think where he erred is calling the media or the press the enemy of the people. It's not the enemy of the people. Bad journalism might be the enemy of the people, but the free press is not. It's essential to a good society.
I only said 92% were, 8% were fair. There was, I get fair media out where I live on the radio.
Who's
I get
fair?
Media that's not tainted against Trump.
Who's fair?
And it's fair.
Who?
But see, they didn't want him in there, and they debated him to keep him. they debated with him instead of actually wanting the news. They made everything bad that he done. Look how many people still call Trump the worst, you know, such a horrible person. In real life, he had a successful family. His family are all highly successful. He has a beautiful wife, and everything's good in his family life. But they hate him that bad, they even tear down his morals, everything they can do.
If everything's so good in his family life, Dan, where's his wife? She hasn't been anywhere near him on the campaign stage.
She said, I forgot, this recently they asked her some questions. She said she's all in for him.
She did say that.
Because they have a different marriage relationship, I realize, than a lot of us do. It's different, but it nevertheless, he's legally married, has, you know, kids
all right.
are highly successful.
We got to get another call going here. All right, thank you so much,
Dan,
sir.
Appreciate your call, as always,
yep.
sir. Thank you.
Much appreciated.
You guys have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Enjoy the sunshine.
Yep, we will.
All
thanks.
Right, thank you so much. All right, that opens up one of the lines, 570-743-9565. We will be right back.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door,
and some things that don't.
Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Repeating the hour's top story, only being reported so far by the Washington Post. President Biden's son Hunter reached a tentative agreement with federal prosecutors to plead guilty to two minor tax crimes and admit to the facts in a gun charge under terms of which would keep him out of jail, according to court papers filed today. Now, the Post is reporting on this, but CBS and AP not yet.
But CNN has it.
Oh, they finally caught on. Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah, now it's on CBS 3 minutes ago. All right, so
they're saying two federal tax misdemeanors and one charge tied to gun possession.
Okay, well, yeah, that using that his admission in the book to say that you were addicted is probably going to be the heart of that. Okay, next up, Danville. Danville is the town. Stan is the caller. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark. Are you happy now?
Good morning. So Hunter gets a deal that nobody else can get because according to the statement on the 4473, if you make a false statement on this form that you buy a firearm with, it's crime punishable as a felony under federal law. So he will not be getting a felony conviction?
So you're saying...
Or we don't know yet.
So you're saying a Democratic Washington, D.C. elite is getting unfair treatment in the U.S. justice system? Come on now, Stan.
Now, it's also at the top of the form, it says if you, you know, they make a determination if you do false things on the form, that it's a certain... gun laws are punishable with up to 15 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. So we going to see that happening, Mr. Hunter? Probably not. But Mark,
yes, sir.
If you went into a gun shop and did the exact same thing that he did, your butt would be sitting in jail.
Well, I don't have six lawyers.
You could hire six.
That's part of the problem.
With your millions, you could hire six lawyers.
Right, I certainly could, but I don't. I would use the public defender, and I would be in jail.
Indigence, no doubt.
Right. Now, my question is, okay, since it's a felony to falsely claim something, they call it a false statement on the form. They don't put lying, they put false statement, orally or in writing. Either one, that is a violation of federal law, punishable by felony. They're felonies. Okay? So, as a felon, now I don't know because I don't international travel. Can a felon travel to other countries on a passport?
Sure.
If they pay, if they're not on probation.
Right, and if the country will
okay,
have them.
Okay, that's leave the U.S. But some countries prohibit felons, correct?
I would think so. That's possible.
Whether you not get an entry visa for the other country would be a question. Yeah, that's no argument there.
Okay, all right. I mean, is that why they're doing? Because if Hunter had a felony on his record and he couldn't get the entry visas, does that mean he couldn't go in there and be the bag man for Joe and his billions?
His Burisma, it would be hard for him to make the board meetings in the Ukraine.
Well, he's not on that board anymore because, you know,
well, he says
Joe
he's
had
not.
The prosecutor fired. He got his $5 million.
Do we believe him?
Who's that?
That he's not on the board.
Not on the bank board. Right. I think it's a publicly traded company, so okay. It would be listed. But you're right. I don't know 100%. And I really don't care because we all know it's corrupt, what was going on there. And it'll be proven or not. Who knows? You know, I don't think the Republicans have the stomach to do what needs to be done down there in regards to all this. You know, they have supposedly the information to prove that, you know, Mr. Biden was taking bribes and quid pro quo, you know, with U.S. government tax dollars, the very thing that they impeached Trump for in 2019. So I don't think anything will happen because they don't have the stomach or the cojones to do it.
Okay.
Just saying.
No.
So,
okay.
I mean, the information keeps coming out, you know, and Biden and his tax records, they no accountability. Supposedly there's $10 million income that he can't really, doesn't mention where it came from on his tax returns that were released from back whenever.
I found it.
So, like I said, so, you know, tax fraud is what took Capone down, correct?
Yep.
Income tax evasion, not fraud.
Right.
He just didn't pay.
Well, that's fraud.
Well, yeah,
that's a fraud.
I agree
that's
with
fraud.
Stan there. Fraud is fraud.
It's a crime. Fraud, crime, evasion, whatever. You know, it was illegal at the time, so that's what took Al Capone down. Now, maybe Hunter's making these deals so he doesn't have to reveal his financials out there in Arkansas to his baby mama because she's trying to get more money out of him for Joe Biden's granddaughter that he doesn't take any responsibility or even acknowledge exists.
Right. What a complicated web.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, Joey's always, you know, he's the big father guy, you know, the big family guy.
Yeah, great family
but he
man.
Doesn't acknowledge that he has a granddaughter. You know, I don't understand it. He's, you know, he's no family man. He's only Joe man. He's, you know, if it ain't for Joe Biden, it's for, you know, it doesn't exist.
He's the big guy.
10% for the big guy.
Definitely the big guy.
So okay.
Time will tell how it all works out, and we'll wait and see.
All right, we've got to hit the road.
Personally, I don't think the Republicans have the cojones
Brett,
to do what needs
that.
To be done, because they've proven that.
Let's right. find some Republican cojones and put them to work.
Where do you get that? Cojones or us?
They need to do it.
All right, thank you, but,
thanks,
sir.
Stan.
Yo, have a great day.
You too.
Hey,
take care, buddy.
Thank you. All right, I stand corrected. I said earlier that Anthony Blinken and Xi Jinping had one agreement signed, but no, Mr. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken this morning told reporters that was false information. He said there was no breakthrough on resuming military-to-military communication with China following 2 days of meeting. He said reports that there was progress are greatly exaggerated. It is still a work in progress, but no agreement signed.
That's why okay. they're the enemy of the people.
Okay. I just wanted to correct
false
that.
False report. Yeah.
Everybody reported. Well, anyway, AP or CBS did today. All right, Harry, last caller before a quickie break. We probably got the day's callers all lined up here with Chris and Dale next, but Harry, you go right ahead.
Well, I'd like to say that in the grand parade of things that are a waste of time, any meetings between the Biden administration and Chinese leadership is like numbers 1 through 100 on it.
okay.
The biggest thing with it is we're going to cave in to whatever the Chinese demand. We're going to say there's nothing to see with which Clueless Joe already said that there was, you know, the balloon over this country was no big deal. It was just one of those things. He said that last week before the meeting started. You've got Blinken saying that, you know, there's no free Taiwan. So it's nice to see that our government would much rather kowtow and participate or not participate, but align ourselves with those who are communist and looking to trample human rights and human dignity. So that's comforting. And the other thing, Mark, you were absolutely right that we do spy on China. We spy on Russia. We spy on India. We spy on England and Israel. Let's not soft soap any of it. But we do not do the same things that China does. We do not buzz planes over ships. We do not buzz planes over other planes flying in international airspace. We do not go out of our way to antagonize people with what are truly blatant acts of at least not war, at least aggression. So I don't know why it's always where we have to look and say, oh, well, it's our fault. It's our fault. No, sometimes people like the communist Chinese are looking for ways to create advantages for them and to take over and be able to show their strength. And we don't, you know, we can't say it's our fault. It's not America's fault.
All right. We got you. All right. Anything else, sir?
Well, I think, too, Joe, you made the comment that we need a free press, and that is good for America, and that's true. However, I don't know how much of the press is free anymore, and that's not, I'm not trying to go as far as Dan did, because I think Dan's heart is in the right place, but Donald Trump was not the second coming. Let's be honest about that, okay?
Amen.
But the free press got damaged severely when news divisions were no longer part of news divisions and became the entertainment division in networks. And guys like Walter Cronkite and Huntley and Brinkley, guys who were news people when I was a kid growing up and first watching news, I don't believe they didn't have agendas. I mean, Walter Cronkite was actually a pretty liberal guy, but you never would have known what his politics were watching the news. And that's the danger of what's happening with a lot of the news reports right now. You do know what their politics are, and that's not good. That erodes the free press, right, as far as I can see.
You remember when Walter Cronkite was named the most trusted man in America, and he earned that.
He did. And that's, you know, I don't see anybody, and I'm not defending Fox or denigrating anybody else. I don't see anybody on any news platform that would be anywhere close to being able to earn that title anymore, and therefore, that's a degradation of the free press system in
this
country.
Well, there was, but he died, Tim Russert.
Yeah. I mean, the other day I saw some things about Chuck Todd on Meet the Press when he was I was going to say interviewing Mike Pence, but he was more interrogating him.
No, that was awful.
Yeah.
That was really bad. Yeah, that was really bad. And I heard a commentator yesterday say what sounded like a railroad train coming through was Tim Russert rolling over in his grave.
Over and over. I think that's true. I think Tim Russert would roll over in his grave.
Yeah. By the way, Joe, I wanted to say they're talking about demolishing the old William Penn High School down in...
Saw that. Broke my heart.
Did you see that? Yeah. I thought of that. That was a beautiful old building.
All right, we got to hit the road.
It's a shame that nothing ever came of that afterwards.
They offered to sell it for $3 million, and they say it's going to cost $7 million to tear it
down.
Got to
go. Okay. Thank you so much, Harry.
He doesn't want us reminiscing, Harry.
Got to go. No, we got to get Chris on the phone. All right. We'll hit the button. We'll be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, we got to hit the phones. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the mark.
Well, first of all, with Hunter Biden, how many times has Stan called in and said, I don't know why, but the federal government very rarely prosecutes these cases where people lie on their forms, or they let them off with a wrist slap? He's complained about that many times.
But that's, Chris, that's
saying,
not...
Oh, if you violate that law, your butt would be sitting in jail.
Chris, that's not... They didn't release exactly what gun law violation that he's accused of or that he's going to plead guilty to. That's not in the Washington Post story. It's not in CNN's story. So you may have that wrong.
We'll see.
Well, on the radio, they said the possession, illegal possession of a firearm.
That's different from lying on. That's different from lying on the form.
Stan has called in many times and said they don't prosecute people on that.
Sometimes.
So this is normal. And you get a guilty plea on it, and with drugs involved, going to rehabilitation, that also is a regular standard thing. And it was a Trump lawyer negotiating this.
Okay.
But so in other words, when a Biden is found guilty, it's bias.
It's Biden's money. Where did he get the money for the houses? Blah, blah, blah. I just don't know. Well, he has 30 years of tax returns on file publicly. You can look it up and see where he got the money. So go and do it before you open your mouth.
Well, we know that we know he's wealthy. I don't think we might be questioning where he got his money, but it's all in plain sight, and I don't think he got any
precisely.
Secret. I don't think he got
and
any
that,
secret
that
money.
Well, $5 million.
That question was a stupid question. The reporter asked, "Did you take a $5 million bribe?"
Is that how he worded it?
No, well, that's. He's answered questions about what he was doing in the Ukraine and firing the prosecutor. Europe wanted it. Obama told him to do it. It wasn't Biden's idea to do it. He was sent there to do it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So all that's garbage. And as far as Trump and he abused the press way before the press abused him. He was a darling for the press for years because he was a good write-up. He was a fun person to interview, and the Times did sweetheart articles on him a lot. But when you're running for president, you take things to a different level, and like. What are they supposed to do when, like, that one press conference he had where he had the pile of papers out for Trump's sake? It was what he was going to reveal.
I thought you were
going to
do that first.
It was a lie. Those were blank pages. He lied blatantly. And they're not supposed to be after stuff like that?
All right. I hate to tell you, sir, but we're out of time. Please send us an email or call back first thing tomorrow. You're only beginning to touch on the truth that needs to be said on this show.
Oh, brother.
Oh,
another fractured fairy tale.
This is WDKOK Sunbury.